Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. There's a focus during this Lenten season on food, or fasting from food. On food, because man does live by bread, and God knows it, and Jesus came to provide it. But on fasting from bread, simply because man does not live on bread alone, as Jesus said, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Bread for the body is important. Bread for the soul, the spiritual bread of the Word of God, of the life of Christ, of even the body and blood of Christ, is more important yet than bread for the body. So again, whether a person practices a fast during this Lenten season, the focus on both bread and that which is more important than bread is everywhere around us in the scripture readings throughout this season, obviously for good reason. Because as we also encounter the demons in many of the gospel lessons for this season, the bread for the soul is that which we must use against the demons, against the devil, against his accusations and temptations and afflictions. Only that will do which feeds the soul. Well, today in our gospel, we have Jesus feeding the body, again, with bread. And it's a wonderful miracle, a free, unasked-for miracle that he does for the people who came out to him, because God knows that man lives on bread. He knows that we have earthly needs, which includes not only food for the body, but all the other things that make up daily bread, as we confess in the Lord's Prayer, in the Catechism. The problem was in our gospel that Jesus was offering so much more than food for the body. He was offering food for the body in order to teach the people that he who provided this bread miraculously for them was the very Son of God, the provider of all, and more than that, was the promised provider that we heard references to in Isaiah chapter 49, our first lesson today. God promising to the Messiah that he would sustain him, that he would send him, that through him the people would eat along the roads in desolate places. And even more, on the next day after our gospel took place, the same people followed Jesus to where he went next. And when he offered to give them himself, the bread from heaven, they didn't want it. We see that already at the end of the gospel. So learn from this gospel that God does provide bread because he knows that man lives on bread, but not on bread alone. Learn that he gives more than that, and learn to focus on more than that, and to care about more than that, so that you don't end up like those whom Jesus left to be alone at the end of our gospel. As our gospel begins, the other gospels tell the same story, the feeding of the 5,000. They tell us that Jesus was actually trying to get away from the crowds with his disciples for a little while. He had been spending all of his moments preaching and teaching and healing, and he knew that his disciples needed a rest, as did he. So they went across the Sea of Galilee on a boat to a remote place, a desolate place. But the people, it says, saw the signs that he had done on the diseased, saw all of these signs that he was performing, miracles, and so they wanted more. They followed him on foot around the lake to where he ended up. Some met him there, some were still coming after he arrived. And Mark's gospel tells us that he looked out and had compassion on those crowds because they were like sheep without a shepherd, aimlessly wandering, now attracted to the signs he was doing, as animals are attracted to food, without thinking much beyond the spectacle of what they were witnessing. Still, he had compassion on them, and so he taught them for the rest of the day. healed more of their diseases that day, and then at the end of the day, had one more gift to give them. Now, people's minds at this time of year especially should have been focused on more than bread, because as John is careful to point out, the Passover was near. Why does that even matter? John wants us to think about it. The Holy Spirit wants us to think about it. What was the Passover for? It was connected with the feast of unleavened bread, more food. To remind the Israelites of God's physical salvation in redeeming them from slavery in Egypt, bringing them across the Red Sea by the Passover lamb's blood. And then in the wilderness, as he led them to the promised land, God, through Moses, providing bread from heaven to sustain their bodies every day, just enough for the day, for 40 years. But the Passover was also supposed to remind them of a much greater deliverance, the one that God promised through the true Passover lamb, who would shed his blood for their sins and for the sins of the world, food for the soul. The Passover itself was one of those reminders of food for the body and food for the soul. And the people should have been thinking about that, just as we think weeks ahead to Christmas, when Christmas is coming up, or hopefully to Easter, when Easter is coming up. As it turns out, they weren't thinking about any of those things, but the Holy Spirit would have you think of them. So Jesus asks Philip, "How or where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" And as John tells us, he was testing Philip. He knew what he would do. He wanted Philip to think about this for a moment. Where does our bread come from? Where could we find bread for all these people? He wants Philip not to despair, but to trust with hope that the one who asked the question was also the one who would provide the answer. But Philip simply admitted the truth. We don't have money to buy food for all these people. We can't provide food for these people. Andrew told Jesus of the 5 loaves of bread and the 2 fish that they had at their disposal, that a young boy had. But then puts the question back to Jesus, "What are they among so many?" Then we have the miracle itself. Jesus having the people sit down in groups of 50, so they're easier to count that way. That's how we can be so sure. There were about 5,000 of them. And Jesus gives thanks to the Father, the provider of all things, for this 5 loaves and 2 fish. And then starts distributing them to the disciples, and the disciples to the people, and there's just more. It keeps coming, more and more, until 5,000 people have had more than enough to eat, so that there are 12 baskets left over of fragments of bread and fish, crumbs from the Master's table, to feed the poor even, who weren't there that day. Because yes, man does live on bread, and God knows it. God provides it. It comes from God, and it comes from Jesus, the Son of God, who is true God, together with the Father and the Holy Spirit. Our daily bread comes usually through parents, through family, and then through hard work, by which we provide the means to buy the bread and things that we need for this life. But God can also rain down bread from heaven, if that's the way He has to provide for His people, as He did in the desert with the Israelites, or as He did here in the wilderness through a miracle. Recognize the giver. Recognize Jesus as the giver. And receive your daily bread with thanksgiving. Receive it with gladness and joy. And enjoy it while you have it. And share the leftover pieces with the poor and with the needy. But recognize that man does not live on bread alone. Because go ahead and eat your bread. Eat it today, eat it tomorrow, eat it as long as you have it. And along with the bread that you eat, follow every one of your doctor's orders too. To take care of this body, to take care of this life. And doing all that, you will still find that you have a divinely known expiration date. Eat bread every day and you will still end up in the grave, because not you didn't eat enough or you didn't have enough bread, but because of sin and the curse that this world is still under. And recognize man does not live on bread alone. You'll die if you only eat bread, and that death will last forever. There must be something more if you would avoid the grave forever. There must be something more if your soul would live even now with God and live forever with Him. If your soul would have the forgiveness of God, the compassion and reconciliation with God, that has to come through Christ Himself and through His Word and sacraments given to you. The multitudes in our gospel wanted only bread, like most of the rest of the Jews, who wanted to stick with Hagar, that bondwoman that you heard about in Galatians 4. And if that story of the bondwoman and the free woman and the two sons of Abraham isn't really, really familiar to you, please go back and read your Bibles like I tell you to every year. Please know Genesis like you need to as Christians. Please know the stories there, because when Paul refers back to it, he doesn't stop in the middle of Galatians and says, "Now let me tell you the story of Abraham again." He expects that they care about their scriptures, that they know them. Well, here, as Paul talks about Hagar, the bondwoman, and Sarah, the free woman, and their two sons, Ishmael and Isaac, and compares them to modern-day Jerusalem, which is here, which is below, made up of Jews who reject Jesus, and the Jerusalem above, which is the true Jerusalem, the people of God, who believe that Jesus is the promised Messiah, and that our relationship with God is determined by Him and His life and death and resurrection. Paul points out that the Jews of his day were still stuck on Hagar, still stuck on the earthly Jerusalem, still stuck under the first covenant of the law, where your eternal life is determined by whether or not you obey God's law perfectly. And yet that's what they wanted, because that's a law for this life. It gives benefits for this life, but only this life. Jesus came preaching the second testament, the second covenant of grace, of the promise, forgiveness not by your works, but forgiveness through faith in the Christ. And His hearers that day, whom He fed, didn't want that feeding for their souls. They wanted the prophet. In fact, they believed that Jesus was the prophet who was to come. But what they wanted from Him was an earthly king. Even as it says at the end of our gospel, they were about to come and take Jesus by force to make Him king. This is the Savior we want, one who can give us bread for our bodies. And so, as we learn from the rest of John 6, those very crowds walked away from Jesus the very next day because He insisted on offering them something else. Not an earthly bread king, but offering Himself as the bread from heaven who would give His very flesh and blood to reconcile them with God and bestow on them not an earthly kingdom, but a heavenly one, which they didn't want. Because the earthly kingdom, that's where it's at. That's what we want. Like those crowds, people today are happy to follow Jesus if it's the Jesus who feeds the poor, who gives us a better life, who makes us feel good. They're happy to have a Jesus who didn't create the world out of nothing, who doesn't demand an accounting for sin from His creatures. They're happy to follow a Jesus who makes people behave better, who works together with other religions to solve social issues, who doesn't judge. Such a Jesus the people of this world might have for a king. But the real Jesus appeared, teaching that He is the Creator and the Judge, the very Son of God, who came to call poor sinners to repentance, to recognize their sins, and to be terrified over the judgment that will take place on sinners, The real Christ came to suffer the judgment we deserved for our sins and to offer forgiveness and eternal life through faith in Him. The real Christ calls people to repent and be baptized and to also sit at the feet of the pastors whom He has sent, to be active in a church that teaches His truth purely, to receive His very body and blood, and to recognize His word and sacraments as the true food for your soul and as the source of a life that's so much bigger than what we can see here. But that Jesus was not accepted then, and He still isn't accepted now, not by most of the world, even by most of our neighbors, even by many churches that bear His name. And so our joyful gospel of Jesus' compassion and free grace and providence for the 5,000 ends on a sad note. The note of a gift that was given and then squandered, not appreciated. A sign that was given and went unrecognized. A Savior who offered Himself to men who then turned away from Him because He offered more than they were willing to receive. Be careful not to follow their example. Look to God for daily bread and receive it with thanksgiving. But even more importantly, look to Christ for something better than bread, for the forgiveness of sins, life and salvation, which He earned for you through His suffering and death, and which He now hands out to you for free in word and sacrament. Then and only then will you be able to, as we sang in the introit and as this Sunday is named, rejoice with Jerusalem. Because the true Jerusalem, the true people of God, is not here below, but above, the home of the blessed who are saved by faith alone in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.